Morning from the Danish Immigrant Museum. This is Tova Brandt, the curator of exhibitions for the museum. I've just returned from Tyler, Minnesota, where I attended the annual Danabo Folk Meeting at the Danish Folk School there. I was honored to be a speaker on the program, where I shared some thoughts and observations about ethnic museums in the United States, and I'd like to share some of those thoughts with you today. The Danish Immigrant Museum is certainly one example of an ethnic museum, and there are other examples all across the country and for many, many different ethnic groups. I've become especially interested in this kind of museum and the specific choices and challenges that ethnic museums face. Every museum has to make choices about what to collect, which programs to develop, and which stories to tell. This is true for art museums, history museums, science museums, but when we think about ethnic museums, it's especially important. For someone who wants to learn about their own heritage, an ethnic museum is often the first place they will go. So their experience at that museum can have a big impact in how they understand where they come from. A lot of things can shape that experience, such as the location of the museum, the artifacts on display, and the story it tells. A museum must decide which artifacts will represent those stories, which stories will represent the group, and which groups represent the full range of a particular culture. When we think about the Danish Immigrant Museum, one of the biggest decisions in 1983, when the museum was founded, was where it should be located. The founding committee knew that they wanted a national museum, so really, it could have been anywhere, and they looked at several options of where they should found that museum. Now, I'm oversimplifying here, but the decision ultimately came down to a choice between Minneapolis and Elkhorn. Minneapolis would have the advantage of a large urban population, maybe easier travel for tourists, and potentially closer ties to corporate groups and resources in a large urban area. Elkhorn has the advantage of an established Danish identity, especially thanks to the windmill, lower cost of living, the chance to operate with maybe less competition, and, of course, Elkhorn looks a lot like Denmark. Ultimately, that choice was between urban and rural. By choosing Elkhorn, the museum started with a closer link to the 19th and early 20th century immigrant stories that were still here in southwest Iowa. Our challenge going forward was and still is to represent the coastal and urban experiences with as much strength. If we look at museums for Swedish Americans, you can see that same story, but from the other side. The primary museums of Swedish culture in America are located in four major cities: Minneapolis, Chicago, Philadelphia, and Seattle. This happened rather organically. As far as I'm aware, there was never a big Swedish convention where they decided to place museums in these strategic areas, although they do communicate with each other, and I was amused to learn that they refer to themselves as the Swedish American Museum People, or SWAMP. In each city, the Swedish Museum concentrates on the stories and experiences of Swedish immigrant and Swedish American families in their regions. None of these museums claim to be the place where a national, comprehensive story is told, and none of these museums have collections that represent a broad national story. So if you're a Swedish American in Texas or California, is there a museum that wants to tell your story? Not really. On the other hand, there are several strong professional museums that each bring their own perspective to the Swedish American experience. My third example is the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. It was founded by a local Czech American organization in the 1970s and placed in a neighborhood already known as Czech Village. By the 1990s, it determined that it should have a national scope, and in 1995, opened a large new building to tell the story of Czechs, Slovaks, and their experiences in America. They do not, however, see themselves as an immigration museum. Their mission reads as follows: We inspire people from every background to connect to Czech and Slovak history and culture. Their programs and exhibitions have emphasized the history and culture of the Czech and Slovak peoples starting 1,000 years ago. In the main exhibition gallery, the majority of space was given to the European story, with very little room left over to tell the Czech-American and Slovak-American story. They have developed wonderful relationships with the National Museum in Prague and other museums in the Czech Republic and Slovakia, and their collections reflect a strong interest in cultural materials brought over by immigrants or by individuals visiting the old country. This decision to emphasize the old country was very intentional, and it makes sense when we consider the many decades during which Czechoslovakia was part of the Soviet bloc, and therefore considered on the wrong side of the Cold War. Americans of Czech and Slovak descent did not have many opportunities to publicly affiliate with their heritage. To do so may have inspired questions of political identity or loyalty. Therefore, the museum was founded at a time when the Czech and Slovak Americans needed to relearn and reclaim their cultural heritage. That leaves a challenge for the museum to strike a balance between that European and American story. For people who are looking to learn about their own heritage, ethnic museums are often the starting point in their journey. That's why these choices matter, and why all of us, the decision makers and the museum goers, should remain aware of how those choices may shape the experiences of future generations. So I challenge you all today to visit a museum, whether it's the Danish Immigrant Museum or another, and think about how that museum has decided to tell its story. And have fun on your visit.